While he stepped, he activated Summon Pestilence and controlled a tightly packed stream of flies. At his direction, the insects zoomed to and fro, sliding between an obstacle course he made on the spot with roots. It was certainly challenging, both because of his divided attention, but also because Randidly was slowly coming to understand more about the skills. Some aspects were difficult, like keeping the insects he summoned with the roots under control, or in a specific shape. If he pushed and focused, he was able to keep them on track, at least extremely close to what he wanted. There were other things, keeping the insects in a ball or lifting a boulder with the roots, that were impossible. Either because of the skill level or his current stats, Randidly wasn't sure. It did reveal plenty of places the utilization of his skill was sloppy. If he could succeed on all the hard tasks, pushing himself to the limits of his potential, he didn't doubt that his skill level would rise, giving him even more potential to draw out. It was an endless cycle of intense training for small gains, a path of tiny steps. For some reason, Randidly couldn't help but grin. That familiar satisfaction he attributed to the aggressive persona of the Ghost Hound burned in his chest. This was exactly what he wanted, and with the benefit of the system, it was infinitely easier to see your own improvement. Of course, by the same token, the vast gap between yourself and someone else became apparent, which would be discouraging, but it could also be motivating. Randidly wondered what the villagers thought, watching him fight against their squads. He supposed it was pointless to wonder. From now on, he planned on staying away from the limelight whenever possible. Perhaps, given a few months of intensive training on Randidly's part, the village would gradually forget about him, leaving him in peace. He supposed he would always consider this his base. When other newbie villages formed in the zone, he would probably go, just to check for signs of Sydney and Ace, and also to gradually connect their villages into some sort of trade organization. But until then, Randidly closed his eyes and concentrated. He was starting to get a finer sense of mana and stamina as well. He was even beginning to feel their relatively minor influence over the strange pulse of energy in his chest, which had become a constant companion. Through that, he realized he could burn more of that resource to have an extra effect when he cast his spells. It was a small thing, extremely small. But this was, after all, an endless path of small steps. Eyes springing open, Randidly pressed, burning as much mana as possible, and a circle of flame exploded outwards around him. The heat scorched the nearby ground, leaving charred sections. Grinning, Randidly flexed his fingers and began moving back through the 20 steps of Spear Phantom's footwork. Intermittently, he would release Circle of Flame, blowing damage outward. Dawn was rising, but Randidly did not pause. He did not tire, because he craved to see the end of this path he was on. He would tirelessly continue forward. Chapter 29. Reyna hastily put her mask back on, blushing furiously. She was secretly quite pleased, but underneath that lay a thick layer of shame. Her face as it was now, without this mask. Without saying anything to the man, Reyna gathered her stuff and hurried down the hill.
At least tell me your name, beautiful!
A hard wedge of annoyance drove down the slightly overwhelming fluttering in her heart, and she straightened her back and strode away.
You aren't getting anything with that entitled attitude, that's for sure,
Reyna thought to herself. She spoke aloud, forcing every ounce of her willpower into her words.
Stay away from me.
Her voice was low, and the air rang with the imperative in her words. Satisfied, she returned to the village. Perhaps she really should get a class at this rate. She'd gotten lucky with monsters, by which she meant she hadn't encountered any. But this man arriving reminded her that although this place was safer, it was not safe. After she walked halfway down the hill, almost against her will, she stopped and turned, expecting... Well, she wasn't sure what to expect. She saw a now distant figure, standing stock still, looking down towards her. His entire body posture radiated sad puppy dog. For a moment, Reyna regretted what she'd done, but she buried that sentiment.
After all, she reasoned, if he really wanted to talk to me, what's the harm in making him work a little for it? Like I've been working to find out where Randidly is.
With her thoughts turning decidedly frustrated, Raina continued back to Donnington, her eyes on her feet. Ezzy groaned. His head throbbed. He rolled onto his stomach and used his arms to leverage himself up into a sitting position. Blearily, he stared at the confusing arrangement of roots and stones in front of his face. Why the hell was he on the ground? Was he camping? Ezzy paled, the monstrous, warped form of the haunted tree coming back to him. A split second later, he heard a small voice beside him.
Oh, look, Arbor, he's waking.
Congratulations, your skill Sudden Punch has grown to level 15. As he whipped around, adrenaline and fear giving shape to the motion before he could even think. Horror slowly spread across his face as his backhanded blow connected with the cheek of a young girl. She didn't even make a sound, slammed into a nearby tree trunk, and collapsed bonelessly on the ground.
Shit, shit, shit!
As he buzzed with a terror-fueled panic.
Why the hell did you—
He whipped around. A weird rabbit creature stood frozen on his other side. As soon as they made eye contact, the rabbit spun into motion and tried to flee. To Ezzy's overstimulated nerves, that was nothing but an invitation. His fist crashed into the back of the rabbit's head and drove it into the ground. He heard and felt the sound of its nose crunching. Congratulations. Due to your actions, you have gained access to the knockout blow path. 0 out of 50.
What the fuck? What the actual fuck? I didn't mean—
As he licked his lips, looking between the two bodies, and pictured Missy Karp's disappointed expression. She wanted him to be discreet. This did not feel discreet.
Okay, just breathe,
as he continued talking to himself.
As long as you calm down, maybe they won't remember.
Congratulations, your skill Danger Sense has grown to level 23. A sudden surge of killing intent behind him made Ezzy spin again, still dizzy from his rough wake-up. His eyes widened, faced with the burning, haunted tree of his nightmares, surging in the center of an angry bonfire. Cursing, Ezzy grabbed both of the bodies and hurried away down the slope, desperate to be away from this unlucky place. Randidly sat on the ground, waiting for his mana and stamina to regenerate. He was conflicted in what to do next. Randidly wanted to grind a lot of skills, to quickly raise his general battle prowess. Well, practice a lot of skills. The sooner he got away from the grinding mentality, the better. Without skill level notifications, it was becoming increasingly easy to think about the way the movements felt, rather than blindly relying on them as skills. Another lingering concern was his lack of knowledge about the icy hot energy running through his body. He felt it was special. In addition, it always surged when he was at his most exhausted, providing him the slightest path forward. He couldn't trigger it very often in training, but when he did, that was when he made the greatest improvement in understanding. The movement suddenly crystallized for the briefest moment. While Randidly meditated, he turned his perception inward, examining the distant energies. It was like trying to parse apart threads of spider silk with calloused hands. He could see them when they caught the light, but any time he tried to actually put his hands on them, they all but disappeared under his fingers. It was incredibly frustrating. That didn't mean the time he'd spent training with Lyra in mana control had been in vain. He learned how to approach delicately, settling his perception down. So even though he was unsure if he really grasped a strand of that energy, he had confidence it was there. This energy was special too. Even beyond its power, it was hot and cold to a dangerous degree. It was volcano and glacier, sliding through his veins, pulsing with the beat of his heart. Randidly did his best to follow those thin strands of spider silk energy back to his core. For a second, he paused in surprise. It wasn't held in a pool like the others. Instead, the energy flowed like water from a spring he held inside of himself. As he struggled and followed it back, distinctive fiery runes flared up around his throat and immediately cooled to a deathly chill. His heart beat a little faster, certain this was a sign he was heading in the right direction, but that small bit of excitement threw off his concentration, and it all fell to pieces. Sighing, Randidly shook his head. He did not need to rush it. Even this much was an improvement. Once he found the source of the energy inside of himself, even if he couldn't gain access to mana, if he could affect this new force, his confidence grew that he could meet Shawl with his head held high. And then, if I can teach the rest of Donnington to use this same force. He revealed a smile as he pictured Lyra's shock. Well, then I won't just be a warrior. Turns out I'm all right at this introspection stuff, too. With one last effort of will, Randley reached out and brushed up against that energy. To his surprise, his clumsy grip managed to land upon it. He shuddered as an electric charge jolted through him, and with that shock came a word. Ether. Randley blinked several times, unsure where the word came from. The energy is called ether. Smiling, Randley stood and walked towards Mrs. Hamilton, who beckoned him over towards a very strange-looking contraption. Chapter 30.
There are obviously harder versions of the previous exercises we've done, Mrs. Hamilton began. But today, we're going to give the final two we have currently designed a good test, and then start to address areas I believe can be improved. The first exercise will be one focused on weapon accuracy and fitness.
Randy glanced around, torn between curiosity and relief. Will Lyra not be joining us? Mrs. Hamilton smiled sweetly.
You've likely been too focused on your training to notice, but Turtletown's activities, even previously quite isolationist, have only intensified. If a raid boss doesn't smash itself against their doors or approach the sanctuary, they ignore it, even as it pilfers food and proliferates. Lyra has volunteered her time helping to brew additional potions. Perhaps due to her age, she lacks patience, so this is a good chance to temper herself. Oh, but don't you dare mention I said that. I'll call you a liar and a sore loser.
Snorting quietly, Randley followed Mrs. Hamilton to two strange new additions to the landscape. The first reminded Randley quite a lot of the mobile they used to train vision and weapon accuracy. Only this one had rings of varying sizes hanging from it, rather than wooden discs. The other training ground was a strange series of wooden pillars, their heights varying. They appeared to be segmented and small pieces of wood stuck out from their sides.
To start, simply stand in the center and thrust your spear through the hanging hoops in order. Use this spear, she pointed to an ugly black stick of metal on the ground that Randley knew Shaw would barely consider worthy of such a designation. Once forward, once backwards, then switch arms. Speed doesn't matter, as long as it is consistent. This is meant to be a marathon. You must finish without any breaks, or you need to start again. Start whenever you are comfortable.
We aren't waiting for Mrs. Hamilton or Sam? Regina asked.
Only Regina, Daniel, Donnie, Glendale, and Clarissa sat around. Newell had been invited, but the village spirit seemed more interested in encouraging classers to gather contribution points than the wider political arena of Earth. Declan and Dozer were kept abroad by the mess of raid bosses that Turtletown allowed, and Ptolemy allowed Clarissa to take over his spot on the council with relief. The immigrants from Franksburg didn't yet have a representative, although Regina was of the opinion they would swiftly integrate into the already established groups and be represented that way, which was why Mrs. Hamilton's absence was a problem. Without her, the NCCs didn't have representation. If they protested... Regina shook her head ruefully. No need to get ahead of herself. It would just be better for Mrs. Hamilton to appoint a second in command who could handle stuff in her absences. Glendale answered.
Mrs. Hamilton is still off with the Ghost Hound and Lyra, helping get the training started. Sam is currently testing or torturing the production-focused individuals from Franksburg. It's hard to tell.
Regina waved her hand, surrendering. And Daniel straightened his papers and spoke.
As per the recommendations of the council to this point, soul points have primarily been used to upgrade our shops and build defensive structures. We have also expanded Donnington's influence sphere, which prevents monsters from spawning inside of the city perimeter. In addition, Mrs. Hamilton's suggestion of the increased energy density zones we could use was a good one. It was used on the farming areas, and crop yields have increased by 20%, as well as some of the crops showing signs of interesting mutations. Now that all of these goals have been accomplished, we have less of a pressing short-term need, and still a sizable pool of soul points.
Clarissa yawned. Regina's eye twitched.
The former librarian was really playing up her lazy witch persona. Not that it was harmful, but still, if she could have a little bit more respect. Seeing that no one interrupted, Daniel puffed up his chest and got to the point.
Since that's the case, I believe this is a good opportunity to invest in two new buildings, the Adventurers Guild and the Communications Array.
Oh, didn't you want to save up for the cathedral? Donnie asked curiously. Daniel hesitated.
Yes, I did, but the cathedral's cost keeps increasing. It's currently at around 15,000 soul points. It seems to be tied to the number of classers a village has. Not only is that a lot of soul points, it's more than we've ever had at one time. I think it's better to buy these other two buildings right now.
Even though we don't know what they do, Regina said coolly. Daniel stiffened, but silently agreed.
Regina knew Glendal would vote with her, and Clarissa supported the building of both of these buildings, so it all came down to what Donnie wanted. Once more, Regina regretted the process by which the council was run. They needed a more sophisticated system. Everyone else at the table appeared to know this too, so they remained silent, while Donnie looked at his hands. On his chest, a fresh new breastplate sparkled, made by Sam with a strange rune carved into it. Sam had thrown it away, claiming it was trash and scrap, but it was better than anything else they had, so Donnie claimed it. It was honestly quite intimidating, too. There was a strange ferocity about the rune on the breastplate, and the longer you stared at it, the more it seemed to vibrate with that ferocity. Shaking her head, Regina looked away. Donnie coughed lightly.
For now, let's just get one of the buildings. I think we should raise the difficulty of both of our kept dungeons. The weaker to 8, the stronger to level 23. I also want a third dungeon, which we can keep at 5, so the NCCs can train somewhere against real monsters, especially if the city limits keep expanding. Daniel, which should we get?
After a brief hesitation, Daniel said,
Adventurers Guild.
Clarissa was stirred out of her boredom, her eyes bright and excited.
Sighing, Regina gestured helplessly.
She went to stand, the meeting basically over. After all, her core of doctors and nurses needed to be honed into more physically fit individuals. A lot of the medicine they would do now was healing, and that required they be near the injured person, able to go to the front line, which is why she begrudgingly accepted Mrs. Hamilton's absence. Donnyton would be all the stronger if she could figure out efficient ways to train. Randidly dragged himself towards the barrel of water Mrs. Hamilton had prepared, dipping his head entirely into it and sucking it down like a vacuum. He probably chugged 10% of its volume before he was satisfied and straightened while wiping his mouth. The water plastered his black hair to his head, making him resemble a kitten unwillingly tossed into its first bath.
Mrs. Hamilton was a devil,
he thought, sparing her a sharp and slightly uneasy glance across the beaten ground of the training area. He received a sunny smile in return. There was a knowing indulgence in the expression that made him believe she knew exactly what he was thinking. The spear she provided for the first exercise had been just as heavy as that godforsaken vest, and swiftly caused his arms to cramp and spasm. He knew she really would demand he do it again if he paused, so he finished her exercise, his chest heaving. She'd only shaken her head and said something that made a vein in his forehead throb.
Aren't you a little too weak? And the whole point was to stab the spear through the hoop without touching it, working on your control. Well, I suppose it's fine for your first try. Even if you don't pick it up quickly, repetition will get you there.
Randidly hunched his shoulders. If he was being honest, Mrs. Hamilton's words pried aside the armor of his current accomplishments and flicked at his anxious heart. Considering how quickly Lyra improved, was he really strong at all? Or had he only been able to found Donnyton and defeat the Sphinx because he had several months of training under his belt? Growing up, he knew he had quick wits. However, that vague feeling of everyone else failing to understand his good points never manifested into anything concrete. He made it to a pretty good college and was 2 years toward failing to distinguish himself in any meaningful way when the system arrived. If his talent really was worse than most people, was it only a matter of time before they all caught up? And then, "Can't think like that." Randidly closed his eyes and slid his hands across his head to squeeze the remnant moisture out of his hair. "One step at a time. Right now, I'm training. Spinning and working those 20 variations of the Spear Phantom's footwork, I felt something. I'm growing. Focus on the growth. Don't let anything else distract you." Randidly opened his eyes and looked down at his hands. "It's pathetic. Without the notifications from the system, I'm already... Soon his rest ended, and they moved on to the next exercise. This challenge required Randidly to move around between those strange spinning wooden pillars, hitting the pegs in a certain order at a specific angle. The pegs were covered with 6 letters spaced equally apart on the peg. At most points, Randidly was surrounded by 3 or 4 pillars, each with 9 pegs, 3 for each segment, pointing out in different directions. Usually, 3 pegs per pillar were within reach, which meant he had access to 54 letters that could be touched at any one point, although there was some overlap. The letters were also colored. Randidly felt his stomach curdle when he thought about how this training would change in the future. The whole idea was that Mrs. Hamilton would say a word, and Randidly would spell it out by hitting the letters in the right order. Unfortunately, there was a lot of letter overlap, and uncommon letters were only located on 1 or 2 of the pegs in the 20 or so pillars, and the 180 or so pegs. It was allowed to press a letter and take a single step, moving so he would be close enough to the letter he needed. This sometimes pushed his footwork to the limits, forcing him to use his imagination to move where he needed to be with a single step. Difficulty was added by the fact everything constantly spun, either by the wind from his steps or the touch of his hand. Not only did he have to look around and try to memorize where the letters were, but he had to keep track of them all while they moved. Where they all moved. If he lost a single letter, it was considered a failure, and he needed to start again. Just a few attempts had him soaked in sweat. He managed to avoid the tickling drip of his exertion across his body and keep up with most of the requests. Then Mrs. Hamilton gave him a word that had him touch the first 3 letters, then freeze, because it was impossible to make it across the pillar group to the W, which spun loosely on a peg on the opposite side. "This is impossible," Randidly said flatly. Mrs. Hamilton chuckled.
"You react quickly, but without any long-term intent. Did you pick that first E just because it was in front of you? If you had thought about it, you would have realized that if you moved that direction, the W coming up would be impossible."
Randidly just gave her a long glance. Weirdly, there were moments like this where she reminded him of Shawl in all the worst ways. He noticed something different about her since she obtained the soul skill. But this was insane. Truthfully, no one ever really understood how much work Mrs. Hamilton poured into Donnyton, handling all the logistics of the NCCs. But it certainly required a mind like a steel trap, and an uncommon eye for detail. And now, with the bonuses provided by her soul skill, her level of insight and planning was a bit intimidating. Randidly broke off the glance and tried again, and again, and again. It was late afternoon before he finished, performing at a level Mrs. Hamilton found barely acceptable. Stretching, Randidly removed some food from his spatial ring and took several bites of the flaky meat pastry, swiftly devouring the food. Even though they had increased stamina, Randidly was beginning to realize this strange ether only did so much in terms of support. People with stats and skill still slowly developed an increasing amount of hunger. Randidly consumed close to 10 pounds of food a day. Luckily, both the Wolverine raising and farming was booming. Otherwise, he wasn't even sure how much more growth Donnyton could support. After he sated himself, Randidly turned to Mrs. Hamilton and asked, "What's next?"
"Quiet reflection or mana skill training? I need to think a little about how I want to proceed and check in on Lyra's progress. I'll come back around dinner with your training menu for the next week. Good luck."
Nonplussed, Randidly watched her go, then wandered a bit away from the training equipment. While he calmly brewed potions, he created swarms of pestilence, brought forth walls of thorns, and waves of spearing roots, He shot incinerating bolts and made circle of flames. He could still feel the small boost he could give his spells by burning a little bit more mana, but randomly didn't force it now. Instead, he just felt the mana expenditure, feeling the small differences in the ways it flowed out of him, depending on what spell he used. They were currently vague impressions, but Randidly thought that as his sensitivity increased, he would grow nearer to having the same strange power as Lyra had, able to freely manipulate and control mana. After he repeated the cycle of spells several times, he sat down to meditate, activating agony. The vicious, digging, jarring pain became his world, but Randidly was used to it now, and his powerful will made it possible to ignore the worst of the pain for now. Instead, it served as a kind of isolation, removing him from the influence of outward stimulus. The sound of the wind and the warmth of the sun on his skin slowly faded away, leaving only his razor-sharp focus. With his attention inward, Randidly focused on the one area of himself that proved it was possible to control ether, or at least to direct it, that place where his soul skill rotated within. Even now, the strange, decadent, rotting green energy flew around the core of ether, opposite the bright orange energy, burning everything the green energy left behind to ash. When he caused the ether to move, two details stuck out to Randidly: that he wanted to avoid his soul skill collapsing into nothing, and that in that moment he had a strong image of ether forming the core of rotation, balancing the two forces. From his experience with the system, both of these were logically important. The system responded to your desires. With a stronger desire, the system would respond more powerfully, and your perspective on what the system was changed how it behaved. It made sense that a powerful and logically consistent image of an outcome could bring about that outcome. Since he used ether to change his soul skill, why not experiment in that area again and refine the soul skill further? He likely couldn't do it immediately, but while he worked on agony and meditation, it was a good way to keep his mind occupied. At the moment, he didn't have any ideas on how to do such a thing. But Randidly believed it was due to the fact he didn't have a strong image and wasn't sure what he wanted. While the energies rotated, Randidly tried to imagine what was going on in this cycle. At first, he focused on one at a time, but when he attempted to move them together, they crashed and collapsed, probably like his soul skill would have, if he let them encounter each other. No. If he was going to get the right image, he needed to handle them all together. In his mind's eye, Randidly imagined a small rocky prairie. What was rot? What was ash? He watched as grass grew in the prairie, and then the rot came, slowly eating away at the grasses, forming a strange, blobby mass as the rot consumed and grew. Then the burning came, devouring even more than the rock could devour, burning away all of the biomass, leaving only the earth. For a short time, there was nothing. Then grasses began to poke out of the soil and grow anew, and the cycle started again. When there was enough grass, the rot swiftly spread, growing large and fat and destructive. Then, when the prairie was almost entirely rot, the fire would come, burning it all away, leaving the prairie clean. Only then could the grass grow again. The energies circled and circled, even and steady, never growing closer, steady in their orbit. Randidly watched, entranced. The ether in his chest pulsed in time with the rotation. Chapter 31. Sam swore and slammed his fist, denting the metal of the work table. Tossing the failed engraving to the side, he looked broodingly at his hands. It was just too difficult to engrave with his mana pool. He couldn't persist for the entirety of the process, and when he ran out of mana, the engraving suffered for it. Sam hadn't even finished this version, and he knew it would be inferior to his previous attempt, which was poor at best. What was most annoying was the majority of his morning had been spent putting the fear of God into the new crafting recruits. They didn't take the system seriously enough. They basically thought the world had monsters now, but all was mostly the same other than that. Just put the effort in and create the equipment. But it wasn't. For whatever reason, there were certain actions the system recognized. You had to observe those and learn to use them to your advantage. For example, Sam discovered early on that hammering in sets increased the quality of a produced item. If you hammered 11 times, took a break, then hammered 11 more times, the entire forging process, the item might be an extra stat point higher at the end. If you just hammered normally, you wouldn't receive this benefit. Similarly, putting a freshly made weapon into clean spring water improved its quality over a weapon plunged in dirty water and cleaned later. There was no scientific reason for these actions to have actual quantifiable effects on the forging process. They were symbolic gestures, which the system acknowledged. Whereas prior to the system, people who were superstitious were looked down upon. Now, in the crafting core at least, such little rituals were regarded reverently as a point of pride. Only with them carefully observed would the best quality product be created. Regina had wondered, long-term, what sort of effect that would have on the mentality of the crafters, but Sam just shrugged. That was far less important than making quality weapons and armor. Sam was more concerned with what these rituals would become. They were simple, small things now, but as they became more elaborate, it was possible they would manifest themselves as a skill. Of course, this was only a pet theory of Sam's, and he didn't have enough time to test it. But a brief discussion with Clarissa gave him some hope. She seemed to think it perfectly obvious that such things should happen, and then she hurried off to practice using certain hand motions or incantations along with her spells. In order to make sure the day wasn't a complete waste, Sam briefly considered practicing more bone shaping, but discarded it. His mood was too volatile right now. What he really needed was... He straightened from his slumped stance, the worry lining his forehead smoothing out, and he smiled. He might not go for it, but if he did... If Randidly could take the time to learn engraving... Gleefully rubbing his hands together, Sam ran out of the forge and north of Donnyton, looking for his newest, unknowing student. Time flowed quickly. Randidly was numbed to it, strictly from following the constant cycle of rot and ash. The longer he watched, the more Randidly grew to suspect something was missing in this process. His ether flared at certain points, hinting at some conspicuous absence. The cycle continued unabated, but a strange feeling began to blossom in his chest. If he could find the source and push towards it. It could have been a minute. It could have been a year. Time melded and stretched. Grass grew, rock came, ash burned it all away. Then, for a time, there was nothing. And the grass grew. In his chest, a deep well of wrongness grew stronger and stronger until... Randidly jerked, looking up at the sky. Something had pushed him onto his back, knocking him out of his trance. He straightened, but fell back down, surprised by the weakness in his limbs. Wincing, he struggled to his feet. Lyra stood in front of him with her arms folded, her mouth in a thin line.
"Don't do that again,"
she said with the most biting tone Randidly had ever heard from her.
"If you leave agony on while you're in that state, your regeneration is monstrous, but it isn't that monstrous. Do you know how dumb it would be if you died because you forgot you left the skill that burns your health on? Fucking dumbass!"
Randidly opened his mouth to say something, then closed it. The worry in Lyra's eyes wouldn't let him speak, and he felt rather dumb for forgetting about his skill. Even now he could feel his strength flowing back into his limbs. It was almost a nostalgic weakness, one he had not felt in a very, very long time. He hadn't felt like this since that first day when the world changed, and he was casually brushed to the side by a ram, his health instantly reduced to nothing. But he'd gained two skills from that situation, iron skin and meditation, which had been invaluable for his survival early on in this system world. For that, he would be forever grateful to the ram's ass that knocked him to the side almost immediately after the system manifested on Earth. Randidly chuckled in spite of himself as he raised a health potion to his lips. After he finished the potion, Randidly talked. Once he started, the words tumbled out of his mouth, as though he'd haphazardly stacked them up in his mind, and now the tower of worries could only collapse.
"If I'm being honest, I don't know if I can afford not to push myself like this. With how quickly you're improving, I need to make sure I don't get left behind. There are risks.
Left behind. You?
Lyra snapped. Suddenly, she was glaring at him.
Are you being sarcastic right now?
Randomly tilted his head to the side, realizing there had been some miscommunication, but unable to put his finger on what he was missing.
Well, you took a day to go from your mana birds barely touching me to nearly dicing me to pieces. If you keep improving like that, the legend of the ghost hound will be wrapped up pretty quickly.
If you really think that...
Lyra stopped herself and shook her head. She turned away and spat out the next few words over her shoulder.
Plus, your legend? What the hell are you so worried about?
Randedly sat there trying to identify the source of the discomfort he felt when Mrs. Hamilton arrived.
Is there a problem?
She inquired sweetly. Randedly slowly shook his head.
No, I suppose not.
This time, Mrs. Hamilton came with a laid-out training regimen that the two of them would split up and follow. The first 2 days were continuations of what they had been doing thus far. It would be difficult, but manageable. After that, there was a bump in difficulty each day, culminating at the end of 2 weeks with what Mrs. Hamilton believed was his full potential. The largest difficulty was in being unable to look at notifications or use path points in that time. Therefore, the increases would come purely from his skill gains and mental endurance. Perhaps the first increase would be manageable, but the second, and then the third increase in difficulty, all the way to the 12th? No, Randy said again, this time with more confidence. Lyra gave him a sidelong glance, but stayed silent. He would walk the path before him to see where it led him. Even if he couldn't see how it was possible now, walking forward would lead him somewhere. There was no point in worrying about it now.
There's no problem.
Ahem. Both Randedly and Mrs. Hamilton turned to find a dusty Sam there. Lyra folded her arms across her chest. Without waiting for any real response, he plucked the paper from Randedly's hands and studied it for a while, scratching his chin.
A lot of physical and mental strain, Sam muttered to himself, eyes flicking up to Randedly. This might not be possible. Well, if you had a hobby to relieve some of the accumulated stress.
Sam handed the paper back and nodded seriously.
You've come to the right person. I think I know how to help.
No one came to you,
Mrs. Hamilton said, her expression bright. Sam coughed loudly and pretended that he didn't hear. Lyra snorted audibly and walked away with her training regimen.
It's a bit of a rough time for it, but we go back a ways. You can come work in my shop a little, clear some of the cobwebs out of your head. But we might as well start right now.
With that, Sam dragged Randedly away, leaving a chuckling Mrs. Hamilton.
Technically, you have until tomorrow morning, and if you eat while at Sam's shop, we can fit it into the afternoon. Your dedication to self-improvement is pretty impressive, she said, waving softly at the rapidly departing figures.
Alana tightened her grip on the spear and lashed out. Her spear transitioned smoothly forward and released a brief burst of light at its tip. Congratulations, your skill Sunstrike has grown to level 36. She held that pose for several seconds, savoring the success. Then she sighed and leaned against her spear to inspect the form that led to it. The difficulty with system skills was how they layered actual movements with additional magic, making it hard to isolate the best way to improve. Sort of jealous of Randedly and Lyra for getting their own training camp, Alana frowned at her spear. Shaking off the disappointment, she took a fighting stance. She stood in the middle of the Donnyton Fort, watching over the entrance to the kept dungeons. She could hear classers boasting by the fires, while a few of the roving squads bickered over the price of monster corpses with NCCer representatives. Despite the constant threat of raid bosses, the reckless indulgence of Turtletown, and the constant threat of the Tribulation, it always shocked Alana how peaceful these moments.
Excuse me?
Alana looked behind her, where a young boy stood with two cloaked individuals. While eyeing the disguised figures, recognition of the boys surfaced.
You're the brother of the one who's always talking about Arbor, right?
I have a name, you know.
The boy scowled and puffed out his chest.
I'm Nathan. But anyway, I'm here for important business. Have you seen my sister or the ambassador? My mom's looking for her, but also...
The boy turned to look at the two figures behind him. Alana rubbed her chin, unsure if one of the other groups was playing a joke on her.
An ambassador?
I hope you will take this more seriously, madam.
The first of the disguised individuals pushed back his hood and revealed the face of a rabbit with gray fur. Alana's skin tingled as he looked at her with a warrior's intensity.
The fate of your village depends on it.
Well, it's not exactly simple, but it's not exactly hard either. Do you think you can manage it?
Sam said, scratching his head. Randidly looked in wonder at the needle in his hand, covered in a network of runes.
Yes, I believe so.
For when Randidly held the needle, his normally recalcitrant mana trembled. Initially, Randidly had been dubious over whether he could learn this skill, especially without notifications. That extra hint, that flash of knowledge, those were what he'd relied on thus far to learn skills. He supposed that even without the notifications, he was still gaining experience. In the end, there was no difference. The second problem Randidly thought he would encounter was channeling the mana. He had never been able to get his mana to so much as acknowledge him, but this needle felt like it was literally poking that impenetrable bubble around his mana, allowing the mana to flow freely down the needle to the tip. Of course, he couldn't do anything but basically control the amount that flowed to etch with, and even that was quite shaky. But still, proof of a concept. It was not that it was impossible to manipulate mana, just that his method wasn't currently sophisticated enough. Again, Randidly couldn't help but admire Lyra's accomplishments. For now, he furrowed his brow and focused on the iron shield in front of him, concentrating on flawlessly carving the lines of the bear rune onto it. It really wasn't all that mentally restive, in a way. Of all the exercises, although the others tired him out, and the letters on the peg were endlessly frustrating, nothing required this type of constant focus. At the same time, it was enjoyable to lose himself in the focus. It would make, Randidly reflected, a nice hobby.
Chapter 32.
The sounds of voices woke Kirsty.
Are you sure it's safe for me to stay here?
An anxious man's voice asked. A calm man replied,
It is fine. After hearing your story, it makes sense that this is all a misunderstanding. We at the sanctuary deeply believe that everyone takes their own journey through life. There are bumps, but they should not be unforgivable. Allow us to handle Donnyton. In the meantime, please relax and rest.
I actually tried to come here before, but I was scared away. I'm glad to learn that's just a misunderstanding. Missy Karp of Franksburg will remember this favor.
The nervous voice went silent. Kirsty could hear a set of footsteps and assumed they must be moving away, maybe down a hallway. Thinking she was alone, Kirsty did her best to ignore the pain in her head and body and opened her eyes. To her shock, a young man stood before her, smiling. Behind him was a tied-up ambassador razor.
Who are you?
Kirsty whispered, grasping within herself to her connection to Arbor. I have many names and faces, but for now, call me Ryoji. The next day passed in a blur. When he wasn't being derided by Sam for his lack of mana control, he was going through one of Mrs. Hamilton's training games, or dodging around Lyra's mana birds, which were becoming increasingly difficult to avoid. Between those exercises, Randidly ate as much food as he could stuff inside of himself and burned through his mana, throwing out spell after spell, flexing the extra mana to increase the effectiveness. He believed he was slowly growing more proficient in this method, but it was hard to tell. During the period of night allotted for sleep, Randidly continued to train with the individual steps of Spear Phantom's footwork, familiarizing himself with the moves. Only by repetition would the distances he could travel with the different steps become instinct, and he would truly be on the path to mastery. Randidly also took time out of the day to practice his spear moves and skills. He considered trying to improve the effectiveness of his Ashen Spear skill and perhaps learn the next kata, except Randidly didn't know where to begin. Once more, he believed the spear move was created due to the powerful image he had at the time. That image was due to Shaul's teaching and philosophies about the spear, as well as Randley's own previous insights into the power that was Ash. Together, they formed a powerful penetrative move. To develop another such move, he would likely have to have more ideas and images about what to do. Instead, it would perhaps be more effective to simply improve on the moves he already possessed, familiarizing himself with them. Which, Randley hoped, would happen naturally during this time of training. His ideas about how a spear advances would hopefully evolve, bringing with it a new image. During his meditative moments, he anticipated further insights into Ash when he analyzed the soul skill cycle within himself. At some point, he would be able to combine them, he hoped. Unlike training under Shaul, there was no constant threat of violence. In a way, that only made things worse. There were moments where Randley wavered during Mrs. Hamilton's grueling exercise regimen, wanting to quit or ease up. Was it really necessary to go to such lengths? Was it really possible to accomplish such things without improving his stats? Mrs. Hamilton certainly thought so. Randley initially agreed, but when he thought about how much the difficulty would increase over the next 2 weeks... After one of the exercises where Randley dodged the mana birds, he looked over to Lyra, who was sitting on the ground. His eyes widened as she grimly glared at him, wiping away a long, thin trail of blood coming out of her nose. She soundlessly stood and walked away. The birds had moved in increasingly complicated patterns, which made it difficult to dodge, and he noticed that halfway through, just as he was starting to run out of options, dodging became easier. He assumed it was because his knowledge of the steps was beginning to pay dividends, which was probably true, but more so because he wasn't the only one pushing himself beyond his limits. Lyra struggled furiously to grow stronger too, which made the look of disgust she had given him when she broke his concentration so much more aggravating. In the dungeon, weakness meant death. I don't want to feel that again. Randy's eyes narrowed. That was right. He wasn't simply racing down this path in order to see what lay at the end, but also because there were other individuals out there struggling forward on their own paths. He needed to shield them from that danger. It wasn't enough to be strong. You also needed to be stronger than the people who meant you harm. This, Randley said aloud, watching Lyra walk away, speaking quietly so she wouldn't hear. This isn't enough. I need more. Instead of resting, Randley raised his spear and began to practice, waiting for the next exercise to begin. Daniel yawned, sitting up. Although sleeping wasn't necessary for him any longer, he still enjoyed the leisure time. So every day at sundown, he would lounge on some cushions and pillows he had squirreled away for a 3-hour nap to clear his head. Setting aside the pile of paperwork concerning the trading convoy Donnington was sending south to Franksburg in the next few days, Daniel ambled towards his door, scratching his butt. After all, the fact that the person at the door hadn't yelled meant it wasn't someone who could truly threaten him. At the same time, the fact that they dared come to the door was a bit... Daniel opened the door, only to find a woman looming over the classer that guarded Daniel during the night, cowering in fear. Inwardly, Daniel made a mental note to go among the NCCs and start training someone to be his full-time bodyguard. This guy randomly assigned to him was apparently intimidated by a... The woman turned to him, her eyes blazing with a strange light, the anger blasting from her entire being palpable. Daniel gasped in spite of himself.
Where?
The woman growled, reaching up and grabbing Daniel by his collar.
Is my daughter...
Randley lay panting on the ground, re-examining the day's training. It was rough, beyond rough. The encroaching ache of sore muscles was something he hadn't felt in a long time, not since the system had come to this world. At no point, even under Shaul, had he pushed his physical limits to this degree. Part of it was the methods. With Shaul, he held on as long as he could and was knocked senseless by Shaul's brutal spear, giving him a chance to rest. Here, he continued with the back-breaking exercises with only small breaks in between. Time and time again, his focus and patience were tested, He was continuously tempted to give in, to allow his body a break. But Mrs. Hamilton's small smile made him hold on, and Lyra's scrunched up face as she tried to catch him with her birds of mana made him persist. The image of that group of classers from Donnington, battered but ready to fight him to the death, made him hold on. His legs trembled, but he gritted his teeth and forced them to move. This was his path. Even if it was hard, Randidly refused to stop walking it. Not for pain, not for respite, not even for judgment from the system. That was how he wanted to live. Randidly leaned forward. Although he was definitely improving physically, it was slow. He could barely feel any differences in how he was able to handle the difficulty. When training changed, perhaps there was another solution. If he could create an armor of roots with root manipulation. Randidly laughed aloud, amused at the image. He shook his head ruefully. Even though he was better and his control was monstrous for his level, there were likely far more monstrous mages out there in the Nexus. Perhaps one day he would achieve their heights, but for now... Focusing his will, Randidly poured his energy into the ground, and the roots responded. They pulsed, curving up out of the earth, inflating with his will, twisting into three times their original size. Randidly shaped them, moving the roots smoothly together, forming a hand. That hand clenched itself into a fist, then flexed itself, opening. Randidly pressed harder with his will, and a second hand sprang into existence. Grunting, Randidly pushed even further, conjuring a long, thin trunk of roots that spiraled upwards, raising the hands to chest height, splitting and forming two arms. Sweat dripped from his brow. Randidly pressed a little forward, and two roots spiraled upwards, ever so slowly. They rotated around each other, winding even tighter. Randidly breathed carefully, afraid to spoil the spell. Maintaining the hands, the torso, and this new object of roots all at once. To say nothing of the mana expenditure, which was quite significant, his attention being divided between so many different roots and so many different shapes, was stretched, maintaining it all. But finally, the spiral reached a height of 7 feet, and the two hands grasped the spear of roots and raised it. Eyes glowing, Randidly settled into the connection between himself and the strange root avatar. It was more than just his maintaining it with mana. He closed his eyes and realized it was feeding him a small bit of information, a small fraction of tactile sensation. Although it was faint, the very root spear could have been pressed within his hands. So he gripped it. He thrust it forward, instinctively calling forth a phantom thrust. The spear cut quickly through the air, but it felt oddly clumsy. Randidly opened his eyes. All at once, the strain of maintaining the avatar overwhelmed him, and the roots started to bulge and twist, straying from the desired shape. Snorting, Randidly crushed the resistance, forcing the roots back into line, and drank a mana potion. He would need more mana to maintain this. He produced his small training spear and closed his eyes. The root avatar gripped the spear with him, and Randidly had the extremely odd sensation of controlling two bodies at once. In a way, it was simple, because he wanted them to perform the same action, phantom thrust. His main body unleashed a thrust that ripped forward with audible speed, but once more, the root avatar performed awkwardly. This time, Randidly caught why he felt so strange when he used the avatar. System assist, huh? Randidly muttered. It was small and slight, but minor differences in stance, posture, and source of force that were instinctual for his actual body didn't occur in the avatar. Or perhaps they couldn't, because he was using roots. Of course, Randidly shouldn't have any instincts of the sort. He'd never handled anything remotely like a spear before the system, and his training after the system was still quite short and rather haphazard. The only explanation was that the skill levels were giving him training wheels to enable him to succeed. He could still improve a lot in his actual technique, but the training wheels were showing him other areas he could improve on. With them, he could observe the differences between his normal form and the movements of the root avatar. Randidly wasn't sure whether it would actually help. He smothered that thought. Image was important. Of course it would help. He would more fully understand the skill, increasing the skill level, which in turn would probably increase the amount of system assistance, giving him more areas to focus on. The corner of Randedly's mouth curled upward. He sighed and rubbed his forehead, the root avatar falling to pieces. Training like this at night might allow him to strengthen root manipulation at the same time, but it was extremely tiring mentally. He would take a break for now, then continue later. Chuckling, Randedly gathered his things and headed back towards Donnyton. It wasn't so much a break, but Sam was quite insistent he continued to learn to engrave. His skill wasn't even to the point where he could control the leaking mana well enough to form an entire rune, but it was nearing that point, and it was excellent practice in detail orientation, even if it was only marginally less mentally draining than the root avatar. Randedly supposed he would need an actual hobby soon, preferably one that would take no time, so he could keep up his training speed. Karen, mother of Kirsty, glared daggers at Regina and Daniel.
What do you mean you don't know?
They exchanged helpless glances and were about to speak when another figure appeared.
I think it's more complicated than just Kirsty going missing, Alana said with a grim expression.
She gestured behind her to two anthropomorphic bunny rabbits in bronze armor.
Let me introduce you. These two are high guards from our sister village. During the hubbub of the raid bosses attacking and the challenge against the ghost hound, it looks like we all forgot to count the days until the portal appeared.
If you hurt my daughter,
Karen raised her finger and jabbed it at the rabbits, completely willing to accept the presence of these strange creatures. Their eyes narrowed and they put their hands on the hilts of their short sword. Alana interposed herself.
I don't think they're the responsible party. They claim to have sent an ambassador over to Donnyton several days ago, but haven't heard from him.
Though Alana's voice was calm, her eyes were bright with tightly controlled fury.
After asking around a bit, many individuals remember seeing this razor. However, he hasn't been seen in 2 days, which I suspect is the exact amount of time since you've seen Kirsty.
Karen thought about it and nodded.
It is imperative that young Master Razor return unharmed.
One of the high guards spoke with a surprisingly deep voice, his gaze harsh.
If he does not, we shall hold Donnyton responsible.
Please let us assure you that we can handle this,
Regina said. She peeked quickly at Karen and then offered a bitter smile.
Truth be told, it would be difficult if it was anyone else. But as long as Kirsty is with this Razor, I have no doubt we will be able to find them.
Alana crept forward, using her spear to push aside the brush. She glanced at the young child behind her.
Are you sure this is the place?
Nathan tossed Arbor's branch in the air. As it twisted up and tumbled down, the flaming leaves flared. The rabbit high guard, Sergeant Clip, who finished out the trio, watched dispassionately. The branch clattered to the ground, its flames touching the weeds without scorching them. The tip of the branch pointed directly forward, and the three leaves flared with light once more, in confirmation. Nathan nodded solemnly.
Arbor has no sprouts over there, but it can clearly feel her presence in that direction.
Alana pressed her lips together.
Nathan, stay here. Sergeant Clip and I will scout things out.
But,
Nathan began, falling silent when Alana favored him with a heated glare.
No. It's not safe this way. If you come, you'll only get in the way,
Alana said.
We're here to rescue your sister and Razor, not to take you on a field trip. Stay here.
Although he was clearly unwilling, he relented. Alana led the high guard forward through the tree line, across the forested low hills, to the west of Donnyton. She kept her eyes peeled through their slow progress. They didn't encounter a single monster. But monsters weren't what Alana was worried about, because Arbor's directions led them into Turtletown territory. And not just the town itself, but from what Alana learned from Lyra's explorations, they were heading directly for the cult, who called themselves the Sanctuary, next to the waterfall. When they were safely away from Nathan, the sergeant spoke.
There are enemies in this direction that want to do your village harm.
Not exactly. A rival village, but generally their attitude has been non-interference.
Alana chewed her lip as they hurried across a bit of open ground at the top of a ridge. It doesn't make sense they'd do this.
If you will not attack them to reclaim young Master Razor, our village will attack you, Sergeant Clip said in his usual deadpan tone.
Alana spared him a scathing glance before turning back.
The reason we're here is because...
Crack! A bullet took a fist-sized chunk out of a tree above Alana's head. Both froze. Alana looked very carefully at the sergeant.
That was just a warning shot. I doubt they'll give us another chance. Let's head back for reinforcements.
After examining the hole for a second, the sergeant nodded slowly in agreement. Chapter 33. Randidly swore quietly to himself, lowering the bracer back to the work table. Once more, he let too much mana flow at once, and it had pooled and warped the rune, soon cracking the bracer. Not only had he failed at the engraving, but the armor was also ruined. Luckily, or annoyingly, Sam had him working with amateur-level leather bracers made by some of the new recruits from Franksburg. It pushed Randidly, wanting to tell them that even their inept attempts had meaning. They weren't just grinding away at their skill levels, they were helping him grind away at skill levels. Shaking his head, Randidly refocused on the bracer before him. Sam cautioned him to focus on one rune after his first efforts engraving each one, so he kept attempting the dragonfly rune. It was perhaps the simplest, or rather the shortest, rune in terms of line length. But at the same time, the middle section contained several graceful loops that required the most delicate mana control in order to execute properly. Engraving, weirdly, reminded Randidly of icing a cake. The medium was already there, and it was a matter of controlling how much substance came out on top of it, and where. Unfortunately, unlike icing a cake, there was a constant pressure of mana pushing to come out of the engraving needle, which needed to be constantly monitored. Just like water, this pressure lessened as Randidly burned through his mana to complete the engraving. Further calculations proved even the slightest distraction caused Randidly's focus to waver, and that waver either increased or decreased the pressure against the mana. The outcome seemed rather random, but Randidly suspected it had something to do with the type of distraction and how it affected him. Sam didn't appear to have any of these problems, and was instead limited by his mana pool, so Randidly didn't bring it up for now. Inwardly, there were times he was tempted to open up his path screen and spend the path points he'd likely gained. Hopefully, he'd gained enough to give him some distributable stats, and with that, he could improve his control and focus, which would increase the efficiency of this skill grinding. But in a way, that too was the wrong path. After seeing Mrs. Hamilton's training, Randidly realized it was less about increasing his possible output and more about giving him mastery of the skills and stats he already had. Skill levels would be gained as he further familiarized himself with the skills, but that wasn't the end goal. It was to develop a mentality that let him use his skills to their utmost potential. It was, Randidly supposed, a classical type of training. After all, before the system, there would always be an absolute wall for humans in terms of what was physically possible. They did not have the luxury of raising stats to run quicker. Instead, they trained to lower the time it took for them to reach that limit. They changed their running form to maximize their results. They lost or gained weight, or changed their diet to sculpt their bodies, all towards this goal of not pushing the boundaries, but moving closer to them. She had a point, Randidly admitted. At any time, he could raise his stats, but to make him utilize them more skillfully? That required a concerted effort, and it was undoubtedly worth it. Setting those thoughts aside, Randidly turned to his next bracer. As he picked it up, he didn't yet use the engraving needle. Instead, he closed his eyes and breathed slow, seeking something. He looked deep within himself, for moments where he was truly content. Struggling under Shawl, moving with him through the dungeon. Fighting at night during those early monster hordes, being unstoppable amongst them. Letting agony burn away his excess thoughts, fighting outside Franksburg. challenging all of Donnyton's classers, holding up that final inspired circle of flame, preparing to unleash it. Repeatedly using his newfound mastery of Spear Phantom's footwork to dodge Lyra's birds of mana, Randedly grinned. Who would have known he took such joy in training to the point he felt extremely powerful? Although he supposed it really wasn't that shocking. Everyone desired to feel important and capable. Now that he'd gotten here, he sure as hell wasn't going to slack off and let go of those feelings. Randedly lowered the needle and began to engrave. Just as he pushed away his distractions, there was a hurried knock and the entrance to the workshop was pushed open. Mrs. Hamilton and Lyra looked at him with intense gazes.
"Training break," Mrs. Hamilton said. "You and Lyra need to go visit Elaine and find out what's going on in Turtletown."
Donnie kept bringing his fingers to the curling edges of the map, smoothing them down. He'd done this 3 times before Mrs. Hamilton tapped Glendale lightly on the shoulder, silencing him. She picked up a candlestick and with a satisfying thump set it down, pressing the mischievous bit of paper flat to the table.
"Easy," Mrs. Hamilton said.
Donnie released a breath and scratched his head.
"I hadn't really realized how difficult it was, just staying back while someone else takes care of a threat. Oh, I know I'm not always out patrolling with Dozer and Declan, but..."
Newell walked in, cutting Donnie's thoughts short. The pale man looked around at the gathering of Mrs. Hamilton, Glendale, and Donnie, and his eyebrows rose.
"You all remained here for this issue? If a rival village is attempting to threaten us, especially our sister village, we must mobilize the full force of our power to quell them."
Mrs. Hamilton offered a mild smile.
"I do believe that when it comes to firepower, Mr. Ghosthound and Miss Silver rival the rest of Donnyton combined. But I would love to take this opportunity to talk to you about the function of a sister village. You see, I find it entirely peculiar that it slipped your mind to remind us of this event, considering how much emphasis you now place onto it." "Unfortunately, there is not much I can say."
Newell adopted his usual officious expression.
"However, the value that a sister village can bring..."
"Perhaps we should discuss some things directly."
An old rabbit woman walked through the door to the drawing room. Donnie's eyes widened. Despite hearing about the denizens of the sister village, it was another thing entirely to see them.
Behind her, a turtle with extremely wrinkly skin stumped in, leaning heavily on a cane.
"I have often found that village spirits' lips get zipped as you do what they ask. If they had their way, they would be able to remain silent, and you would dedicate your life to accomplishing their whims."
The rabbit woman paused, looking down at the map.
"Where is my precious grandchild being held, then?"
The turtle behind her grunted and eased himself down onto a stool by the table.
"Her manners are a bit better in most circumstances, I promise. Just what with Razor missing and the subject being the uselessness of village spirits, she's Hess, the leader of the sister village, Kith Clark."
"My announcer is Bert,"
Hess sniffed. Then her eyes flicked from Glendale to Mrs. Hamilton to Donnie. Eventually they settled on Mrs. Hamilton, and her fur-covered face stretched almost unwillingly into a polite smile.
"I saw your departing duo as we arrived. We sent 2 of our own warriors to help as they could with the situation. I hope I wasn't overstepping. But even if I was, considering it is my grandson..."
"Your enthusiastic assistance is welcome," Mrs. Hamilton replied. Then she gestured at Glendale. "Here, hopefully this will help. Glendale, can you use astral projection to show us how they are proceeding?"
Randedly's eyes blazed, the forest a blur in his sprint through it. Lyra followed behind, relying on blink and mana potions to keep up. Behind her raced Alana and 2 anthropomorphic rabbits who had insisted on accompanying them as warriors of Kith Clark.
The more Randedly learned, the more his insides twisted.
According to her brother, Kirsty took Razor for a tour of the area about 2 days ago. She didn't come back for dinner, but that was relatively common. She has a bad habit of sleeping underneath one of Arbor's trees.
Alana panted out the words and hopped over a fallen log.
And we noticed some strange behavior from Arbor, but considering how often he dances, it was only when these figures from our sister village appeared did we realize the severity of the issue. This whole time, Arbor has been gesturing in a certain direction.
Right towards the sanctuary,
Lyra hissed. Randedly huffed out of breath and planted his foot, leaving a deep imprint in the muddy ground. He could picture Elaine's face, demanding he leave. Her disgust for him had been unwavering. The flames of his fury surged higher in his chest. His fingers tightened on his spear. One of the Kith Clark warriors cleared his throat. Randedly took these two seriously, if only because they appeared to have even better physical fitness skills than Alana.
Do we have a plan of approach? From what we've been told and experienced, they are quite firm at rejecting incursions into their territory.
We snuck in before,
Lyra said, and blinked forward. Randedly decisively shook his head. His heart filled his limbs with heat, and the attitude of the ghost hound seeped into each of his movements.
No, sneaking in will not be necessary.
Lyra and the bunny warriors gave Randedly strange looks, but Alana appeared excited. They continued the rest of the way in silence, soon reaching the edge of Turtletown territory. They circled around through the hills, approaching the waterfall of the sanctuary. Randedly's fury surged when they reached the edges of the defensive perimeter, and a dozen men and women, dressed in basic cotton clothes and holding rifles, blocked their way. The two groups stilled.
Turn back!
The lead guard had a few visible dark hairs sticking out between his eyebrows, which strangely incensed Randedly further.
This area is under the control of Turtletown. If you continue, we will exercise our right to defend our land.
They knew we were coming? Either they suddenly have a much better detection system in place, or there's a spy in Donnyton that somehow managed to send a message ahead of us.
Randedly looked to Lyra. Her ability to track mana required either exposure or time to get an accurate read, ideally both. Since Lyra hadn't interacted